Two-man game, TMG, get the news fast, AMG, game of two boxes, name two boxes that hit as hard as this. Yeah, we're cutting to the truth, no, there ain't no narrative. Eyes up on the cup this year, hear the stadium erupt this year. For my team, TMG.
Let's go! Welcome to the TMG podcast, episode 128.
128, TMG!
TMG! Significant podcast as we build up the... We're going to talk boxing today. We're building up the biggest fight in modern... No, I'm not going to say it. The biggest fight in modern heavyweight boxing. The biggest fight in the last 20 plus years. So many delays, so we can't really... The anticipation's been... It hasn't been there. The build-up hasn't been to the level we'll expect because... We expected the fight to happen one time, then it got delayed, but now the fight is actually happening, and we're getting Fury versus Usyk, the battle for Undisputed.
The battle's already started.
Yeah, we could talk more on that. Yeah. Battle for Undisputed, the road to Undisputed. There's a guy from England, 6'5", from Watford, who was on the road to Undisputed, but it was...
He's six foot six
on the road to Undisputed, but he was pummeled by Usyk in Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. And on the rematch in Saudi Arabia, he lost again, leaving Usyk versus Fury as the battle for Undisputed. And now this is fight week. This is the week we've all been waiting for. This is the week that, you know, aficionados like Melo, guys that you catch in the grassroots of boxing. It's not the grassroots, I say, in the York halls, the gritty, nitty-gritty, where boxing is really, you know, that's for the purest of the game.
The home of British boxing.
Yeah. Now we got the biggest spectacle. How are you feeling? How are you feeling, Melo?
I'm feeling alive. Usyk versus Fury. Yeah, I mean, it should have happened maybe 6 weeks ago or 2 months ago or 3 months ago, whatever it was. So it's happened initially. Got delayed because a few was cut. But we're here. Just hoping it goes ahead. No more unintended surprises.
Yep.
Or unpleasant surprises. 7 belts on the line. Can you name them all?
I don't know. There's too many belts. There's the ring, the lineal, the ring, IBF, WBF, WBA.
Not WBF, WBA yet.
Yeah. IBF, I don't know.
IBF, yep.
I don't know, Continental World Champion, something. Why is there 8 belts? Can you tell me the 8 belts? So I thought it was 4 belts.
There's even 8 actually, yeah. Okay. Well, there's WBA,
okay.
WBC,
okay.
WBO,
okay.
IBF,
yeah.
IBO,
okay.
Ring, lineal, and an undisputed belt created by Mr. Turkey himself.
Oh, shout out to... Shout out to it's not a shake, is it? But shout out to whatever the man is, Turkey. What he's doing for boxing is actually making fights happen. His Highness, your Royal Highness of Saudi Arabia, we salute you for what you're trying to do to the sport. Actually making fights happen, because we know without you, this Usyk Fury fight would have happened in 2028 with two old 40-year-olds. Trying to reclaim some glory, and we're actually getting this.
Excellency, we call him. Is it excellency?
Is it excellency? He's not Sheikh. Sheikhs are UAE and that, man.
Yeah. So because he's we call him his excellency rather than your highness.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, thank you for Mr. Turkey. Is it Al Sheikh? Turkey, what's his name?
I don't know, man. What's his name? Let me go and do the research while you're talking.
Wait, Turkey. Thank you, Turkey.
I called him Turkey.
He's opened up the battle doors, broken down the barriers to entry in terms of making these big fights happen. United. You know, he's made people, what's his name, Frank Warren and Eddie Hearn come together, unite and work together, which is stuff that, you know, you wouldn't have assumed or wouldn't have thought of before.
Yeah, Turkey Al-Sheikh is the Saudi advisor. He's the one that's making these facts happen.
Yeah, he's the vibe administrator, because he's making stuff happen.
He's a Saudi power broker.
He's even getting stuff happening in America.
He's making that fight happen with Crawford and Crawford and
Canelo.
No, it's not Crawford. Is it Crawford and Canelo? He's trying to make it happen.
He's trying to make that happen. He's making Crawford versus some middleweight, something like middleweight. But he's making stuff happen, man.
Yeah, shout out to him.
Yeah, I'll go give him the utmost respect because in his day and age, stuff doesn't happen that much in terms of
man. Man, it tells you when there's money on the table, things happen. Your boy.
I guess people would have wished he was around in Mayweather's time.
Yeah, because he would have. But first of all, we need to get Mayweather out of Dubai.
Free Mayweather.
Free Mayweather. Free Mayweather. I don't even know what that means. Hey, man, shout out to him, whatever's happening. But
well, yeah, this will be the first in 25 years since we've had an undisputed title in I guess, the modern era.
I'm looking forward to the fight. You know, I actually shout out to my guy Yomi from church. You know, we had a brief conversation. You know, he's getting people that, you know, not always into the sport. We had a brief conversation. You know, it's a 50-50 fight, people are telling me. People are saying that, you know, I think Fury's size will be too much for Usyk and his boxing knowledge. But then there's some people that have that doubt. They said that Usyk's tempo, his ability to continually be switched on, and his endurance will probably be a bit too much for Fury. We'll see how it goes, you know. I'm looking forward to it. Just looking forward to it. I'm looking forward because people have an opinion, and that means something's happening in the sport. People have an opinion. The layman has an opinion. Guys are linking up to watch a boxing fight. I'm sure you got some. Hey, Yobo, you got somewhere to watch the fight on Saturday?
I don't know where, but
see, people will make places to go. I know you got somewhere. You will be somewhere to watching the fight.
We're watching the comfort. Oh, that's the same day we have a final. I'll probably watch it from the comfort of my house.
Comfort, yeah. You got.
Actually, to be fair, we might have something going on after our final. We need to get to the final first.
You need to win on tomorrow, don't you?
Tomorrow, yeah. Coming.
Is it tomorrow? What time?
8:00 Meridian.
I can come to Meridian. That makes sense. Sorry, I couldn't come make this week, but you won anyway.
Oh, yeah. You've been to a double-double winner.
Yeah, man. Don't lose your focus, though. Don't lose your focus. Double.
We're going for the treble. One more to go.
Don't lose your focus. Hey, maybe your league has many titles as Fury and Usyk are fighting for. What's that?
Yeah, we've got three league titles, two cups. We've only got five championships.
Five championships. Yeah, there's eight championships on the line this time.
To make it six. Yeah. Well, at least on average, we're winning one a year.
That's good. Keep
2019, it up. 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. Yeah, we need to get a couple more.
We'll talk more on that later. Well, let's talk about Fury Usyk.
I can actually see this fight being pretty boring to the layman, to the casual fan.
It's not going to be big, heavy punches. It's going to be methodical.
I think Fury will try, but I think there'll be a lot of grabbing, holding, smothering. You know, people getting in a clinch, a lot of clinch work. I think Fury's gonna go try to spoil the fight, slow down the tempo, wear on Usyk, wear him down. Usyk's gonna try, you know, stick and move. I'm just intrigued to see how Usyk could do that for 12 rounds without Fury getting near him. That's my biggest query.
I feel like
conundrum.
As you're saying, it's correct. It's a battle of styles, and I feel like because it's a battle of styles and the way Usyk has to fight a particular way to beat Fury, he's not going to outpower him.
Nope.
He's going to have to do it by speed. He's going to have to do it by tempo. He's going to have to do it by movement. So these are the advantages he has on Fury. The boxing skill level, you know, maybe Usyk has got more boxing skill than Fury. But it's not that much. It's not the difference is not as wide a gap as Usyk and AJ.
School level's close.
You know, yes, it's very close. And what I saw from the AJ fight is that when AJ tried to brawl him, or when people have tried to brawl Usyk, they've been able to impact him in some way. Like Dubois, he tried to got some body punches, but Dubois not as skilled. Joshua, some interchanges, he showed a bit of skill, some level that he can actually hurt him. But then Usyk was quite comfortable with Joshua in the end. Usyk has to fight a particular way, whereas I feel like Fury can fight multiple different ways. And that's where the advantages come for me for Fury.
He's got a 50-pound advantage.
He's got the 50-pound advantage because he can play...
That's like 20 kilos.
He can do the baller thing. Then he can do the sticker move. He can do multiple things. He can do the front foot. He can do the back foot. He can do all of these things, which I feel like is an advantage for Usyk.
Where?
No, advantage for Fury, not Usyk. as advantage for Fury because he can do all of these things. But at the same time, Fury's mentally, the last time we saw him in the ring, he was getting touched up by a guy that never fought before. So
have you seen the condition and the shape he was in compared to this fight?
You think he's in? Is well, he's in a lot better shape.
He's taking it way more seriously. And when he was,
it's still a scar. Hey man, he looks so poor.
Fury fights up and down to the levels of his opponents, so I expect to see one of the best versions of Fury
in this fight.
I'm gonna have a bet on a pinky with a big eye, Esco from Agenda. See if he's better. Usyk. I mean, I feel like the man.
He bet Usyk. But is he an AJ lover?
Yeah. A lot of the man don't like Fury.
They don't like Fury because they're AJ lovers.
But I just don't. I'm trying to see the way that Usyk can actually carry this out for 12 rounds. And does he have enough power to hurt Fury? That's what he's gonna need. And
I don't think he has enough power.
I don't think he has enough power. You can outbox him for spits and furts and phases, but can he do it for 12 rounds? What, Fury, you know, wearing down him, tagging him up? No, I just don't see that happening. I'm welcome to be corrected, but I can't envision a way of Usyk being able to carry this out for 12 rounds where he gets the unanimous decision.
I don't see him. He can't hurt. I don't think he can hurt Fury.
He can, but he's
I don't think he can. I don't think he will.
I don't think he will. That's the thing.
I don't think he will hurt him. Maybe he can. From what I've seen him, has he really hurt someone?
No, but what he tends to do, what he tends to do, he exhausts you. You'll be more exhausted than hurt, which he did to AJ a bit. Because in the first fight, you almost had AJ on the done. But he more exhausts you, type of thing.
If we go back to look at recent fights, let's look at the recent fights that they've had, the recent ones in recent memory. So we've got Usyk has fought Dubois and AJ twice his last three fights. In the Dubois fight, Dubois hit him with, I think it was fairly comfortable size from the Dubois low blow. I don't know, low blow.
The phantom punch.
Is it below or above the waistline? We don't know. He really, after that, it was quite convincing when Dubois quit. As he normally does when his back's against the wall.
Yep.
And the AJ fights were really interesting and really intriguing. So we've had Sam Alafi come on here. We've had a few people talking about, we had Big Ayo come in here. We've had a few people talk on those fights. Some people were arguably saying AJ in the first fight, that was his best ever boxing performance. Look back on it.
I don't know about that.
He tried to, that was, I feel like that's when AJ was having his identity crisis, we were talking about.
That's when his identity crisis reared his ugly head.
Yep.
Ugliest form.
And we hadn't seen that until he fought a high-level, top-level boxer, and they really kind of brought it out to him that, wow, he's really lacking in certain areas, or he doesn't know himself. You know, self-awareness is key.
Yeah, it is.
And he kind of tried to box with a boxer when he should have been a fighter that day. Yeah. You went to watch the fight live. The first one, so obviously you probably have a greater perspective on what you saw from AJ that day.
This is the game plan, and the game is execution of that game plan was all wrong. He came with the wrong plan, and he done the most stupidest thing you could have done against Usyk. Try to box with a supreme boxer, you fight a boxer and you box a fighter, yep. Or you box a brawler and brawl a boxer, which is what
Fury's got more self awareness than AJ.
If Fury did what AJ did, if Fury would have more luck because Fury's a marginally, yeah, clearly a better boxer than AJ, but also Fury is a better brawler than AJ, but just doesn't have the power that AJ has and the speed. But Fury knows the dark arts. He comes through, I think he's seen 7 generations of bare knuckle fighters, as you saw with his dad Ted Button in one of Fury's.
Yeah, we need to talk on that. What a crazy guy that John Fury guy is.
Just static, probably try to rattle them and end up with blood in his head.
That was a random headbutt. I don't know why he's
a 60-year-old plus man, chin headbutting around.
Hey man, John Fury's been trying to smoke a lot of dons, man.
John Fury, man, he's a funny guy. He's amped up.
Hey, wait, side up. Do you know when he was with Dylan White?
Yeah.
He said that I thought it was Steve Buns. I was like, oh, I thought this was Steve Buns.
Is that Dylan White said?
Yeah. Yeah, John Fury is a crazy guy, bro. I don't know why he's trying to steal the limelight. Let Tyson fight. John, you just chill. You just chill.
Crazy guy.
Just chill, man. We don't need to see him.
You know what I mean? He wouldn't have been out of place with the crazy gang of the old Wimbledon days in the early
90s. Yeah, but he's got some different type of CTE. But we can can move on. But yeah, what you were saying on Usyk?
Goodbye.
Well, we're talking about AJ because obviously we're talking about AJ. We're saying that AJ tried to. He was having an identity crisis.
The game plan was awful, and Fury. I don't see him implementing the wrong game plan to that extent. And if he does, he can adapt. That's the thing that AJ couldn't do to take advantage of openings. Even though the windows were small against Usyk, because Usyk doesn't give you clear openings, but he can adapt. And obviously, Fury is going to attack the body.
Do you know
the in a clinch? We prepared to see Fury give him proper.
It's gonna give him some punches. Yeah, it's gonna hurt.
Body. Yeah,
lean on him, put the weight on him, but make sure he feels it, make sure his legs go. That's what he's gonna try and do.
For those reasons, I just don't see how Usyk's gonna win. Mm. I get he can have his moments, but what people say is gonna wear him out. I mean, I don't see that because Fury's so masterful in a clinch. He's gonna just grab him and hold on to him. It depends on the referee. If the referee allows him to clinch for a while, then yeah, Fury has a big advantage. If the referee keeps on breaking him up, maybe prematurely, then Usyk has the advantage. But
I reckon he will allow it at the beginning, mate. You need to see the first couple of rounds. Because I believe Fury downloads information quickly as well. Like he's like, okay, I'm aware of what I need to do for this opponent. Like, okay. Okay, this guy likes to do this. This guy can't handle this. Then he brings it there. He can fight people different ways, which is why, as you said, I find it hard to see how Usyk will win, because Usyk is very one tone. I'm gonna fight this way, and you're gonna have to keep up with me. I don't need to adapt because I'm so skilled. I'm just gonna fight my way, and he will. One thing I will say is that Usyk does use some of your advantages against you. Like the jab that AJ used to have, when he's trying to feel it out, like he just kind of leaves it out there. Usyk was kind of using that against him. He's really timing him, and then AJ couldn't adapt to it. Maybe the new AJ, the one under Davidson, it might be more of a challenge.
It'll implement better tools at the right time for someone like Usyk.
I even think that AJ right now, if he was fighting Usyk, the tempo that he's fighting at, where he is mentally, I think he has a better chance now. And I think it would hurt him.
Yeah, because
he fights with intention.
Intention, velocity, ferocity. So for those reasons, AJ will give Usyk a real run for his money. The first two fights, actually the first fight wasn't close. Second fight was a tiny bit closer. Mm-hmm. A bit closer, but wasn't that close. So I think it was like a 116, 112 type of fight.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, there were slight opportunities like windows, but then AJ got taken down in the championship rounds, 10, 11, and 12.
Mm. You just have to fight with the intention. I feel like Fury will come out with that intention.
The main opportunity that Usyk has is if Fury gasses out.
Have you seen Fury tired though? Like gassed out?
Not really, but we've never seen Fury with a boxer that can manipulate and exploit any fatigue to the level Usyk could.
Okay.
So that's the main thing, because Usyk will exploit that, especially his tempo, the mental pressure he puts you under, that sort of stuff.
I feel like if you look back on, let's say, through his last three fights, so he's fought Wilder twice. I think Jazor?
Yep.
I'm not counting his fight against Ngannou, because
Dillon White,
it's been quite, Dillon White, that was a nothing fight. Dillon White did not show up. And his head hit the canvas, and he's not been the same since. She's all right, just doing a favour for his boy. Never do that again. Wilder, you know, he just figured Wilder out. And Wilder now, he's probably a B-level fighter now.
Yeah, he's missed the boat. Yeah, that's the thing. Usyk and Fury have taken advantage of where AJ and Wilder should have fought for this opportunity years ago.
AJ and Wilder really missed the boat. They really, really, truly missed the boat. We kept pushing it down the line, pushing it down the line.
They end up both losing.
And now, whenever they do fight, which I think they will fight, it just doesn't won't mean anything.
Well, it depends if Wilder beats Zhang.
I think that's a really uncomfortable matchup for him. Zhang's hands are heavy, though.
Zhang can knock him out, man.
Zhang's hands are heavy.
Zhang's a better boxer. But Zhang's slow, so Wilder with his speed. and it's not that elusive.
To be fair, Joshua Parker's probably like what, number three, number four now? Parker's like number four.
It should be, yeah, it should be after AJ Usyk and
Fury. Yeah, because he beat Wilder, he beat Zhang, he lost to Joe Joyce, which is such a weird one now if you look back on it.
Joe Joyce got turned up by Zhang.
Yeah, see, he got held. Fights. Yeah, Star will make fights.
This is why people, we need to see Fury versus AJ, because Fury, Usyk beat AJ, Fury beat Wilder. And say Fury beats Usyk,
yeah,
AJ could beat Fury.
That's true. It's true. Boxing doesn't actually work like, oh, because this person beat this person. You expect that. It doesn't work like that. I think they were showing me one triangle. Was it like Marquez, Mosley, and so on? I can't remember what it was like. But the wins had just was different. Like, it wasn't...
Marquez, Mosley, Mizzy, Pacquiao?
Yeah, it was quite weird.
Mosley hasn't fought Pacquiao. That's interesting why they haven't fought. Maybe Marquez, Mosley, Cotto, I'm not sure.
It was one of those ones, and it was like... That person beat this person, but they lost to this person. That was just quite an interesting one when you look at it in that way. So maybe AJ can beat Fury. Maybe.
We'll see.
But let's see what happens now, because we're going to get two fights of this. We're going to get two Fury Usyk fights. That's what they say. This is what Mr. Turk said. Your Excellence, Mr. Turk said. We're going to get two of those. Let's see what happens. True. If we're getting two of those fights... You know, this could be potentially legendary status. It's a shame that it's in Saudi Arabia for the travel and the fans. There's a certain type of fight. There's a certain type of atmosphere maybe that's lacking when you have those overseas fights.
Well, they're getting paid $100 million, so...
Yeah, that's the thing, you know, the trade-off is there. But you love those moments in a Wembley. Yeah, like, Wembley. One of the best atmospheres I've seen was AJ versus Klitschko. It was in Wembley, like...
Were you there?
No, I wasn't, but I just saw it on the TV, man. I wasn't there. Were you there?
No, I had tickets there. I saw them.
Why are you selling, man? That's poor for me, you know?
Money makes the world go round. Money makes the world go round.
That's an experience that you will miss.
Yeah. You live and you learn.
Yeah, man.
But yeah, Premier League, NBA.
Let's take a move on to the Premier League. You know, last day of the season, man. It's coming down. There's things to play for. Mm-hmm. I think relegation is kind of settled. All the newly promoted teams have gone down. Top four is kind of in place. The only thing that's up for grabs right now is...
title.
It's the title. And we've got City facing Spurs and then West Ham on the final day and then Arsenal versus Everton. Only 1 point separating them and four goals. I think it's four goals. I believe so. Man City has actually scored more goals than Arsenal. So if goal difference is drawn and it will come down to goal score, Man City will win the title. It's gonna be an interesting final day. Very interesting final day. Tops and turns in the title race, but it's just that City are just so ominous. So I think it's 33 games unbeaten, haven't lost since they faced Villa in December. It's just been an amazing run from them. I don't even think this City team's been that good. I don't think they've been that good. I think the last 2 years we've seen them City, I don't believe they've been on the levels that we used to see of the cities. Or the styles changed. I think either the styles changed or we expect a different version of City. Mm-hmm. It's not as... The style of football is not as... ferocious as it used to be, I think. But the level of control is still there. I feel like with their midfield, the control, Rodri, De Bruyne, Bernardo, and then the new addition of like Foden being a breakout star.
Sheffield United has conceded 101 goals.
That's so bad. I feel like that midfield trio and that has really carried them this season. And I think KDB and Haaland being out for portions of the season has allowed Foden to grow. And it's opportunities, because opportunities show you how good a footballer can be. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, you've seen Palmer with Chelsea. Like, we wouldn't have seen that version of Palmer if he stayed at City.
I was like, call Palmer, weren't even getting a sniff.
Yeah, they weren't getting a sniff.
Now he's like, what? Almost, well, he was drawing top goal scorer. I think Haaland's back on top now.
Yeah. So you see that opportunity. That's what I say to these top players or players of that. If you're a young player, you should, first team football is imperative. Like, sitting on the bench for a big club, it can really stagnate your career. Like,
okay.
look at ESR. Like, we don't know what version of ESR will be there if he's playing week in, week out. He's really stagnated. Like, he doesn't play. And that's a guy that was, you know, two seasons ago, was one of Arsenal's best players. So you need to allow these young players to play football week in, week out to show you who they are.
For sure.
Or you become a guy like Reece Nelson, who's like 25 years old, hardly ever plays. We don't know what version of you is.
Too comfortable.
And then that's it. Your career will actually fade out. So your career will just fade out. Before you know, you're trying to find out yourself in Championship for Barnsley. And they're doing a piece on you in The Guardian and saying about what happened. Like, it's tough.
It's crazy. But yeah, Haaland got 25, Palmer 21, Isak 20, Solanke 19, Watkins 19.
We need Isak, man.
Salah 18, yeah, we need Isak. Isak will take us to the next level.
I don't know why we didn't get him before Newcastle. We were linked for a long time. They were telling me 60 M's, like, that's not, now it's 100, it's 100 plus.
Because people are Arsenal, they take risks on the wrong players, and they don't take risks on the right players.
I feel like there's two ways to do it. I feel like you either let a guy get established in the Premier League and then sweep him in, or you take the risk. But if you wait, the tax you get for a guy that's proven in the Premier League is just ridiculous. There's no point. But then, like, for example, Man United took the risk with Haaland. Like, you have to be patient, because you've gone him, you haven't allowed him, he has no time to adapt, you just throwing him in as the number nine.
True.
Or you buy a guy from another team that's in the top there. So that's an example, buying a Isak or buying a Watkins, buying a Tony. Guys that are proving themselves in the Premier League. Doesn't always work, though. Doesn't always work. Like, that's like when Arsenal tried to buy Francis Jeffers. Back in the day. I don't know why we did that.
What did you buy from Everton?
Yeah. Some strange signings back in the day.
I'm sure it was justified at the time. But
that sounds like just an English thing, man.
Yeah, probably. But yeah, I mean, Arsenal, the title was lost, and Man City when we lost to Villa.
Do you know what's so funny? Arsenal got their most wins ever in the Premier League season.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah. 27.
27.
And still the Invincibles, we had 26 and 12 draws.
I'd rather take draws than the losses, because the losses this season have hurt, man. Some of the losses, the Fulham loss away, painful loss. Arsenal didn't turn up that day. The Aston Villa loss.
Yeah, we lost 5 games.
We lost to Villa, we lost to Fulham. Who else? We are unbeaten against the Big Six. Who else have we lost to?
Newcastle.
Oh, Newcastle away. That was a dodgy L. Dodgy L. I remember the ball was out of play. So that's 3. Who else have we lost to? Flip. I'm trying to think. So we lost to Villa. We lost to Villa home and away.
Damn, they cooked us.
Villa, we lost to Villa home and away. We lost to Fulham.
Fulham, who's that one?
Newcastle. Who else? Who did Arsenal lose to? None of the Big Six didn't lose to time. Brentford didn't lose to Brentford. I'm trying to think of that. Everton? No, Everton. Not Everton. Who did Arsenal lose to this season? Let me check the fixtures. That's a poor loss, because he's not one of those big sides. West Ham.
That's West Ham?
Yeah, that's the West Ham at home.
Okay.
Around Christmas time. See, that Christmas time, man, was poor when we lost to Fulham, Villa, West Ham. That's when we did the title. As we were making it up from there, and then losing to Villa again, not even getting a point.
To West Ham and Fulham. Well, we lost to West Ham at home. We lost to West Ham and Fulham back to back.
That's it. And then Arsenal put on a run after that.
We drew to Liverpool.
Fam, Liverpool.
No, we had a poor form. We scraped against Luton. We beat Wolves 2-1. We beat Brentford 1-0. Then we lost to Villa 1-0. Beat Brighton 2-0. Drew Liverpool. Lost to West Ham. Lost to Fulham.
That's a poor stretch.
We came back and we beat Palace 5-0.
So, but what we lost as a title was that 3 games there. From Liverpool to West Ham, Fulham. That run. That's 1 point out of 9. And City just inevitably just haven't dropped points like that.
The juggernaut that is City kept on going and going and going.
They haven't lost a game this calendar year. Well, it is what it is. That's the pressure that it is when you're facing one of these great teams. I feel like Arsenal are title favourites next year, because 5 in a row would be with. It's hard to do it 5 times.
If Pep, De Bruyne, and Haaland are still there and Foden,
it's hard to do anything 5 times.
Quintuple.
It's hard to do anything 5 times.
On the way to a quadruple, man.
Do you know what it is to win something five times? That's like kids football when guys don't lose for like 5 years. Guys are saying, oh yeah, I have 200 games on beating those kids. But
I don't even know any kid team that's done that. I had 2 and 3 years, but 5 years is crazy.
5 years?
Yeah.
I know guys that were not losing for a time.
Five years is crazy.
Guys were not losing for like 3 years. I can't, there was a time in my year I can't remember losing. There's one season I can't remember losing. Like maybe under 10, 11, I can't remember losing those two seasons. Every week was a pummeling.
Damn, I said he had a
run. And then when he got to 11 aside though, football did change though.
Was it good lockers or not?
Good lockers. Meridian.
Are you playing for Meridian?
Yeah.
Okay, well, you guys had a little smash.
No, not good lockers. I don't know. We're playing for Quay Wonders and then when.
Quay Wonders, Bexley, Dunwich.
You played for Dollar Tournament?
I played one season for Dollar Tournament, yeah.
In the pink kit?
Pink and blue.
How are you getting to Dollar Tournament, though? That's a journey.
My boy Dan Edwards. Yeah.
I played for Bexley Bar, played for Meridian, and I played for Long Lane. That's where I started my youth career.
I was in that's where we done our trial, Long Lane, earlier today.
Is it? Yeah, Long Lane. That was a good team. And I cut from Long Lane to Meridian. Then I went from Meridian to Bexley Borough. Then Bexley Borough took a year hiatus. Then I played for Welling. Then that was it. Welling was calm though.
Yeah, Welling, my big rivals.
You played for Quay Wanderers though. Do you know that was the team that guys wanted to play for?
I don't know why. The facilities in Quay Wanderers are crap.
The pitch was the worst pitch I've ever played on. It's that little pot there, real further than his yard.
I don't know where your friend lives in Morton Plainfields.
Yeah, it's one. Yeah, the Plainfields.
I don't even know where your friend lives near there.
Yeah, well, he's not where he used to live.
Okay, well.
Near the Elm College.
Yeah.
Back there, so. Anyway, don't they share a stadium with SC Dons now? I haven't driven down that part. Is the stadium like? Is it a stadium now?
It's supposed to be.
Hey, Yobo. Have you been to the SC Don Stadium in near Five Ways? Is it Quay Wanderers Stadium?
Is it built now?
Is it built?
I think they got a pitch ready. They got Astro ready, yeah.
Okay.
I don't even know the plans of it. Are they still doing a partnership with SC Don's?
I'm not sure. I actually don't know.
Yeah, SC Don's, man.
They're probably
going to
be bigger than them soon.
I reckon SC Don's probably is bigger than them. Yeah. But SC Dons doesn't have multiple teams though. It just has SC Dons. You don't have a youth team.
Yeah.
Since they might as well just partner with.
Just merge, man. Yeah. Just change it to SC Dons.
Because that's it. They could get their youth teams into the Kent League.
Yeah, I think it's hard when. Do you know that when you've got kind of like a social media club, yeah?
Like hashtag.
And then you try to combine it with a publicly traditional, yeah? They're
not going to have the same values or views of how to do stuff. Do you know what's mad? Is that hashtag United is actually like in the pyramid.
Yeah, they are. They're doing pretty well, actually.
But then, like, Baitis and SE are not done that. They're even aiming for that.
No, but they're Sunday League, though.
Yeah, they're Sunday.
For me, I feel like they're almost like a good feeder club.
But guys don't really. Guys just stay there, though.
It keeps them active after their careers, I guess.
To be fair, they got some pro players that play for them. I don't know. The pro play. What? Zach Ansah plays for SC Dons, isn't it?
No, does he still play for them? And the players that are still playing at decent level, they still play decent level on Saturdays, anyways.
Okay, so they play Saturday, then play Sunday.
Yeah.
But you're tired, bro. You're knackered.
I couldn't do that, bro.
I couldn't do that.
Play Sunday.
Okay,
forget.
Bro.
And
especially because there's the Sunday standard now for them is probably
a bit high. Yeah.
Forget, man.
Well, guys that play Sunday, I respect Dons that play on Sunday, man. Because that Sunday league thing is not for the lighthearted. There's a man there that are taking all the frustration of the week on you. They will want to break a leg because they've had a rough week.
You're working at a bank.
When a tradesman has had a rough week on a site and he sees a young Melo trying to do tricks, just forget your legs, bro. He will take you all the way out.
Saturday, Sunday football.
You end up in
especially
the bush.
Especially them, man. I know they'll probably be going out on a Saturday as well.
Yeah.
That's long, bro. You're playing Saturday, and the Saturday kickoffs are like 3 o'clock. And if they're far, you get home at like 8. Then going home at 10, get going home to go out. Let's say you do a 10 to 2 shift on a night out. Then you're playing football again 10 o'clock. Forget it, man.
Fam, man, and they're gonna kick you into that bush. Guys, don't sleep, man. Don't sleep.
Shout out to them, man, because my body's even breaking down now. Like injuries, tight muscles.
Getting old, man.
Shout out to them, man. I could do that. But yeah, NBA.
NBA playoffs. Let's go through this quickly because I've got some few storylines. I've got four. Let's go. I'll give you a quick synopsis and you tell me which one. So Nuggets, Timberwolves 2-2. They wrote the Nuggets off. Guys said they would be swept. Pacers, New York 2-2. New York physically dying, don't have enough bodies.
Yep.
Pacers play with speed, pace, and have more depth. Dallas versus OKC. Ooh, battle yeah. against experience, against youth. Mm-hmm. Two MVP candidates going at it. One is more injured, one's very injured, and the other one is shining in this series so far. We'll see how that goes. And the other one is Celtics versus Cavaliers. 2-1. The best team in the East.
We're gentlemen's suite.
The best team in the East against up and coming team with potential. Which one do you want to start with?
I say Celtics Cavs get a much more run out of it.
What was your takeaways from the Celtics Cavs?
Gentlemen sweep. Cavs will do well to win two games. The game they won, they shot really well. Celtics, it's kind of going on all Mac. Yeah, if the Cavs get them to a clutch situation, they have a bit of chance. But Celtics just, you know, they're just too good for now. I don't know how long Porzingis is out for.
I think he said they'll be back for the conference finals, possibly.
Yeah, I don't think they will need Porzingis for the Eastern Conference.
I don't think they even need the. I think the East is so weak this year that it's gonna be Celtics really shouldn't lose. They should only lose one more game. Like even if they see the Knicks are so hobbled, they see the Pacers don't really have the level of. They match up well against the Pacers. That's what I would say. So I don't really see the Pacers beating them. So it was like, it is what it is.
But something about the Celtics, man. I just find it hard to follow them.
You don't believe in them?
No. A good team. I just find it hard to follow them unless they're playing a top team. I don't know. Something about Tatum and Brown, I just can't gravitate towards.
You can gravitate towards the two stars.
And I like Drew Holiday, but I just don't. You won't see me watching all the Celtics highlights.
You don't root for the Celtics like that.
Yeah, like.
They're not exciting.
That Bucks, I'll go watch all the highlights because Giannis. 76ers, even a bit of Embiid. Miami Heat, I could do Jimmy Butler. Like the guys are just too just bland. There's not enough.
There's a lot of criticism on Tatum this season. It's like just for stepping up. I feel like.
Same with the Nuggets, really.
I love watching the Nuggets play. I think they're amazing.
They play good. So Nuggets and Celtics play good basketball. I'm not disputing that, but the guys are not really interesting.
I could watch Jokic over and over. I think the way Jokic plays basketball is like, what he sees is special. It's like, for example, you know, you talk about Xavi and Iniesta. Yeah. Actually, to be fair, you got a good example. Like, I see the Nuggets a bit like that. The Barcelona teams, like, great fundamentals. They play well. Everything fits. But I used to find tiki-taka football really boring as well. The control was just so boring. It was like nothing was happening.
From a technical aspect, it was cool. And actually, the risk they took from passing the ball at the back,
yeah,
it was fantastic.
But did you find it exciting?
But again, they had Messi and Dani Alves and.
But I felt like some games it was just boring. It was like, oh, just keep ball. You're not doing anything. You're not penetrating. You're not really.
But they had flashy players.
Obviously, I watch Messi because that's my guy. But
I guess what Nuggets, Jokic. I mean, you can do flashy stuff, but not a flashy player like that. Murray's got a bit.
He's not Duncan. He's not.
Yeah, they don't really have that much exciting.
It's not Kyrie. He's not gonna do something that you're like, oh wow, I can't do that.
I mean, Murray could do some sort of stuff, but it's more like fundamentals, not really flashy. Like, but also had the perfect blend of fundamentals and flash. Like I said, your Neymars, your Henrys, your Eto's, Ronaldinho's kind of loud. Even Iniesta to an extent, Messi of course. Like that guys are proper, like skillful.
No, I kind of find them boring sometimes. I find like when not Barcelona. Spain was boring.
Spain definitely was boring. 100%.
Spain was boring because they didn't have the same level of flash guys, but they had just control. It was just control without purpose. Control without purpose is boring. I find that kind of football boring. Like okay, you have possession, but. Boring. Sometimes Man City to me is boring.
Yeah. Can be. But you got guys like De Bruyne. They can do something from 0 to 100 real quick. Sign it before. But yeah, I can see that Man City being a bit boring.
But as you said, you find yourself
Paul Foden.
Exciting like guys. You find yourself as boring. I think like guys like Tatum, like they try to push him into top five, but he's not a top five player. Just accept what he is. He's just a good, like, he's a good player. Like, it's not gonna be a reliable. Every night, you know what you're gonna get. He's just a good player, man. That's it. It's not a star like Ant. He's not gonna take it over. He's not gonna say this is my time. He's just gonna do what he has to do.
Is he a superstar?
Maybe. He's on the edge. He's on the edge. Like, is he like? I don't know what the difference between star and superstar. Like. He's a good guy. Like he's the number
superstar,
one
superstar. You need to have a MVP, Finals MVP, or lead your team to multiple finals.
Well, there's a lot of guys that meet that criteria. Then you wouldn't say Luka's a superstar. You wouldn't say Ant is a superstar. You wouldn't say Shea is a superstar.
Luka,
he's led to the conference final.
No, Shea's not a superstar. Ant's not a superstar yet. Luka's close because he's been very close to MVP ratings. But yeah, Shea and they're on their way. Shea and Ant, they're not.
You wouldn't say Kyrie's a superstar.
No, Kyrie's not a superstar.
But then these are guys that move the needle though. Because for me personally, if he was to say top 75, why was Kyrie would have been on it for me? If Dame is on it, why is Kyrie not on it?
Dame's not a superstar.
Then in your definition of superstars, there's only like 5 or 6 superstars.
Yeah, we've had this before. Yeah, that's the point.
But any superstars you have is like guys that are past it. Guys that are not even in the players anymore.
Yeah, those guys are fading. We're trying to find new superstars. But Luka's on his way. I said the current superstars are Jokic.
What did you say? Jokic, who else?
Jokic, Giannis.
Giannis, yeah. Then you have Embiid, because you said Embiid is one of MVP.
His playoffs career.
So then, cool. Okay, so you're saying they're negating him. Yeah, then you got Harden, you got Westbrook.
They're not on form anymore.
Okay, Kawhi.
He's got an asterisk because of the injuries, but yeah, Kawhi, what is his best?
Okay, LeBron.
He's a former superstar.
AD.
As the main guy, you got no Finals MVP, no MVP now. He's an excellent second piece. He's
not a superstar.
He has first player tangibles and second player intangibles.
Okay, so he's not a superstar.
No.
Steph Curry.
Fading.
So you're saying there's only one true superstar right now?
There's two. It's Giannis and Jokic. But obviously Giannis has been going for injuries. Who else is there? Yeah. Who's one?
Jimmy B.
He's close.
Yeah, that's a multiple finals guy. Final. Yeah.
He's close. He's a bubble one.
Trying to think of more guys.
If Tatum gets to another final, but him or Brown?
Tatum, Brown, no. I just negate those two. I just don't see it. Because the teams have been so overpowered when they've done it. They've had great teams.
True.
Great teams. Like, they've just... And they're not reliable, guys. Just not reliable.
True.
You say no Kyrie.
Nah.
You say Shea and Ant are not there.
On their way.
I'm looking at who's left. Brunson, obviously, you're not going to say. Halliburton, no. That means there's only one superstar left in the playoffs, man.
Yeah.
Down to that metric, that means the Nuggets should win this thing. Because that's the only guy.
But it's guys who are on their way. We'll see who could be the next one. Luka is looking at one. If he can stay fit.
Can't stay fit, man. That guy.
There's a lot of guys on their way, but right now, like we're in a transition period.
In the transition period. I think this is a nice transition.
Because KD's down, Kawhi's down, LeBron's down.
Guys should know that this might be one of the last chances to win it, because the guy in San Antonio that's is awakening. And if he gets a good co-star, boy, it's curtains.
No, that's cut that in. Did this happen now?
Oh, no worries. But, there's a guy, let me just end on this note. It's a guy in San Antonio who's a 7'4" defensive
beast.
Weapon.
Behemoth.
Can do multiple things, can put the ball on the floor. And when he gets in the playoffs, boy, it's going to be something different when San Antonio gets going, man.
Well, yeah, make sure you like and subscribe. Follow us on all platforms that be the Spotify, the Apple Podcasts, instance, Audible, that be follow us on Instagram, follow us on Twitter. We are the TMG Boys. Your boy Mello, your boy J8, and we are
out of here.